Good morning, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Mellius' webinar to discuss the results of the second quarter 2022. My name is Giovanna Villari. I work in the Mellius team, and I'll be the host of this event. Our event will be held in Portuguese and translated into English simultaneously. Just select the desired language on the interpretation button located at the bottom of the screen. Again, for non-Portuguese speaking audience, let me inform you that this event is being translated simultaneously into English. Please select the preferred language by clicking on the interpretation button, which is located at the bottom of the screen. With us today, we have Israel Salomon, Founder and CEO of Mellius, Luciano Valle, Mellius CFO and Investor Relations Officer, Marcio Pan, Mellius Investor Relations Head, and Davi Holanda, Founder and CEO of Bankly. Before turning the floor to Israel, I would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and at this moment, all participants will be in listen-only mode during Mellius' presentation. Then we will start the Q&A session. To ask a question, just click on the Raise Your Hand icon on Zoom. The materials presented are available for download on our website, ri.mellius.com.br, in the Results Center session. Over to you, Israel.
Thank you, Jojo. As usual, I would like to introduce myself for those who cannot see me on screen. My name is Israel. I'm Mellius' CEO. I'm 33 years old, white man. I wear dark glasses, and I'm wearing a dark T-shirt in a sunny room. I believe this is a very important day because finally we have Davi Holanda with us. After the BACEN has approved, made all the approvals. It will be very nice to have him talk about Bankly at the end of the presentation, and Luciano and I will coordinate the part related to Mellius and the other companies. In June, we completed a rollout of our new app to our user base. This new app, as you all know, is our starting point for an ecosystem which will be more robust with more cross-selling among the products available and a better experience for the users who already use the financial services on our app in our co-branded card now. Now we're going to have our proprietary card whose management will be done within the app. We had an increase in the number of average days that a user accesses the new app, showing that our thesis of increased engagement and better experience is materializing. We had an increase of 24% when compared to June of the first half of 2022 and 2021. Our digital accounts have reached 1.2 million, and the TPV of Mellius card reached 7.3 million, and the TPV of the co-branded card reached nearly 800 million. We can move on to the next slide, please. We'd like to point out that Mellius is evolving at all times, so we are far from the level of product that we would like to offer or the level of a service we would like to provide to our users. At the same time, we have a team that we need in order to create those products and to put the new services in practice and improve our services ever more for the final users. We would like to draw your attention to some points. The first one is that most of our team for the development of products, the team is allocated not only in the development of not only this team, but most teams are allocated into whatever is new, whatever was not our core business when we had the IPO. The team that allocated into the new things are focused on whatever is on the screen. We are in the process of improvement, the user experience. That also include the chat Mellius, which is a direct communication using the app, and this is something that we didn't used to have, and this will help a lot in order to improve the user experience. Crypto back, this is something that we have been mentioning for some time, and Alter is the company that we acquired last year, and we know the potential that this feature has in terms of retention and activation of the cards. We are very enthusiastic about this feature that we are about to launch. And also the payment of boletos, the bank account payments. Many of our users have access to this tool. We are about to release to 100% of our users this feature. And we would also like to mention the social commerce. All users of Melius already have access to the promo bit, but within the app of Melius. We believe that this feature, this tool, will help us take more sales to our partners. At the same time, we'll help users to find what would be the best offer, the best deals. And we cannot forget that we call it social commerce because the offers that are published in that area are published by the group of users, more than 1 million people sharing those promotions, the best deals with the community. We are very enthusiastic and we are very happy because finally we brought in on board this nice experience such as the PromoBit inside Melius environment. Melius continues developing the platforms, the site and apps of all the users who would like to use only that limited experience. But we have those first steps of PromoBit also inside Melius. Another point that we have been including is insurance. We have one part dedicated to this feature, which is not on the air yet. But as I said in the beginning of the presentation, this will reinforce the fact that most of our team today is allocated in whatever is new. Okay, we can move on to the next one, please. Okay, nice. And our user base reached 25 million people and 7.7 million users are active in the past 12 months. And in a period when we have been de-accelerating marketing investments, we had an accelerated number of accounts opened. We opened nearly 26,000 accounts of every useful day in the second quarter of 2022. And now talking a little bit about growing, but growing with efficiency. I have already mentioned about our not being so dependent on marketing investment in order to grow. So we had a comparison when compare year on year. So the reduction was 41% in marketing expenses. As to total buyers, we continue growing in numbers. We grew 19% in the number of active buyers on the platform. And investments, lower investments in marketing generated a lower number of new buyers on the yearly comparison. But the new buyers, even though we see this 20% lower, they set off in the growth of GMV and also the take rate improvements that we have been managing to accomplish along the time. So even though the number of new buyers dropped, the GMV was very strong this quarter because we are now bringing in new users, which are more qualified. So we can move on to the next one, please. And then, before discussing invoice and PicoD, I'm going to go over some operational numbers, talking about GMV that we had already announced previously. GMV grew by 38% with a net take rate of 2.1%. The GMV of the last 12 months, now we are talking exclusively about Melius, and it grew even a quarter where the growth of e-commerce in Brazil was very slow. So it's very important to mention this, that it's a moment when the e-commerce is accelerating in Brazil, and our quarter was also a less accelerated quarter. But even so, We had a growth of 38% in terms of GMV. We'd like to point out as well another aspect which is more related to revenue, and Luciano will bring more color to that in a minute. The second quarter of this year is weaker historically than the first quarter of the year. The reason is that in the first quarter of the year, we have a recognition of revenues, which is substantially high, and they are related to Black Friday and also to Christmas season. The comparison base for shopping in the second quarter is the worst, I would say, considering this drop in the Brazilian e-commerce, this weakening of the e-commerce in Brazil, as well as this mismatch of seasonalities of first quarter and the second quarter. Now, going a bit further and discussing expenses and revenues, and Luciano, please add to the information I'm giving now. The second quarter, not only for shopping but also to financial services, the second quarter of this year has a comparison base, which is the second quarter of last year, when we still had the operation of generation of new credit cards, co-branded credit cards, when we had the partnership with PanBank. This quarter, we stopped generating this card. All we do is to generate our new credit card. There are two important things to consider that will explain why we had this revenue drop in the financial services. The first one is because the former co-branded card received 45 reais per activation of card, and that brought in most of the finance revenue the moment you activate the card. On the other hand, the new card will bring in revenue along the time because we do not have any revenue when the card is activated, but we're capturing some revenues along the time. In addition to that, it's another point, and the last one related to this theme. It's important to mention that as to the credit card, when we compare the one co-branded with Banco PAN and when we compare a credit card of Melius, we were accelerating the issue of the cards. The market was different from the economic viewpoint. Now with this new market, we are being much more cautious when we do the rollout of our card. We are moving slowly, and we are getting to know our user base. The pace of growth, when we compare the two cards, the one in the past and the one we have now, we see that the pace is a bit lower when we see the results, and that explains the results.
We can move on, please.
Okay, talking about invoice now. I always like to show you those slides because they show how much the product has a high engagement from users and also high retention of users along the time. In the second quarter of this year, more than 400 users were scanning invoices and receiving cashback when purchased at physical stores. Out of this number, a little bit more than 400,000 users that scanned the invoices, we captured more than 42 million, what we refer to as sell-out data point, which would be different products that users are consuming in those stores at the end of the day. I like to point out that we have a plan which is quite aggressive to use all those data to improve ever more capacity to get to know our users, to launch specific campaigns or to focus on different brands or feed our credit score with those information. They are very valuable so that we can be very assertive when we provide credit to our users. Lastly, now talking about PicoD, the cashback operation continues to grow. The number of buyers, total buyers grew in the second quarter 2022 in comparison to the last quarter of last year when we basically started the cashback operation there. We saw that our thesis when we acquired Piccadilly is becoming true. More than 400,000 accounts that were opened in the countries where we launched the cashback operation. We have to remind you that we are operating in 40 countries considering Piccadilly as a whole, and we have a plan that up to the end of the year, we are going to finish the rollout into those 44 countries, and this will accelerate the figures we see on the right. As to GMV, we grew by 81% in the cashback operation, a very accelerated growth, and we reached 30.7% currencies in Poland, which is the comparison base. The net revenue more than doubled in the second quarter, and it already accounts for 15% of the total net revenue of Piccadilly. We are replacing the former model of Piccadilly with this new business model, which is a model in which we believe, generating value to the shareholders, the users. We are very happy, and I would say that we are in line with the objectives that we developed and established the moment we made this acquisition. This is something that makes us so very happy considering the results we have seen so far. I'll turn the call to Luciano now so that he can continue the presentation.
Thank you, Israel.
Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for attending our conference. I'm Luciano, I'm CFO and IRO. I'm in a sunny place. I'm wearing a black T-shirt. I do not wear glasses. I have dark hair, and I'm a white man. Israel has already mentioned something related to revenues, but what is important to talk about the financial aspects of our company. Considering the adverse scenario that we have been facing, the sector as a whole has been undergoing some difficulties. We present in this quarter a very robust results considering all the scenario. Starting with net revenue, we can see that we had a total revenue of nearly 80 million, considering the group as a whole, a 45% growth when compared to the same period of last year. Part of this dynamics is driven by the behavior of partners, and also when we made the comparisons with the period, the former period. When we look at these numbers, in the last 12 months, at the end of the second quarter, we reach revenue higher than 320, a growth above 86% when we compare with the same period of the previous year. We can move on to the next slide, please. Now in relation to the expenses, when we look at the results, when we exclude the non-recurring items that we saw in this quarter, and we see the results that we started to capture as of June, and we can see that there has been a drop of 7% in the expenses from 108 in the beginning of the year and close to 101. This shows how our discipline in the controlling expenses and costs have been playing out without forgetting all the elements that generate value on our platform. On next slide, we present a little bit of the breakdown of our results. It's important to mention that here we show some of our discipline and some of the care we are taking to maintain the financial health of the company without forgetting about investing in something sustainable along the time. As we said in the previous slide, we moved from 79 million in the second quarter and reached to a net result of negative 28. It's important to mention that all this discipline is reflected in the balance sheet. When we look at our cash position, we saw that along the second quarter, we maintained a stable position compared to that one observed in the first quarter of this year, which is a cash position higher than 500 million reais, providing more comfort and more safety and confidence, showing that the strategy that we have been implementing has been successful so that we can continue along those lines. We believe there are many things ahead of us considering everything that we have been developing and everything that the team has been doing in the last quarters. With this, I turn the call to David so that he can talk a bit more about Bentley operation.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you, Luciano. Thank you, Israel, for the words. David Holanda. I'm 40 years old. I'm CEO and founder of Bentley. I'm a white man. I have straight hair, dark hair. I'm wearing prescription glasses, and I'm wearing a blue pullover. Before talking about Bentley, I would like to say that I'm very enthusiastic. We have built a lot of things related to infrastructure. It's a bit tough because you don't see that in the hand of the client. Now we are beginning to see the results. We are picking the first fruit, but there are many fruits to be harvested. I would like to thank Bentley team who has been believing in this journey since 2020 up to now. I would like to tell you that we are just in the beginning and there's a lot to come. The future has much more to come than the past to tell us. Only to start talking about Bentley. Before start talking about Bentley, I would like to remind you a moment that what is the moment we have been experiencing. We had the technological load of 25 years in a single 2 years. The first time I saw internet, it was back in 1995 on Time magazine. From then up to today, we see a lot of evolution. We have seen changes. So far, for some companies, for a company to become digital, all we needed to do was to have a fan page or an e-commerce or something in the social media. Everything was very superficial back then. With this technological download that we had that was pressed by the pandemic, we now start to experience fintechization of companies. This is a phenomenon that goes much beyond having just one website or a fan page. Now we have areas, digital areas within the company, and we add more products and services so that the client can use them along their journey. How can we have a screen time from the client? How can we have higher perceived value? Along this journey and considering this vision, we have Bentley. Bentley is nothing but an infrastructure business combined with technology, regulatory aspects, so that we can provide the best added value to the client, the client of our client. It's not because the pandemic is about to be over that the habits that we acquired in the past 2 years, the digital habits, I mean, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be used anymore. Those digital habits came to stay, and we believe that those digital habits came to stay, and in this gold rush, we are selling tools for our partners to add value to their clients. Here, I would like to ask you, what is a bank for you? In the past, it was very easy to characterize what a bank would be, a bank branch, a manager, and this person would be the head of a community in a small region, in a neighborhood. This manager would give credit, would sell services and products. This is a business that has been evolving. I don't mean to say that the traditional bank is going to end, but
As we see it, we believe that this is going to evolve. As Jeff Bezos said, everybody needs financial services, but not everyone needs a bank, not necessarily a bank. So this is where Bankly comes in and helps companies offering services during the consumption journey, and even helping those companies with some improvements in their operations. I'm going to show you some cases so that you can see this much more clearer. So now moving on to the next slide, please. Here we put a little bit more context. So we have a double click. So as to say, we have the traditional banks where the client would pay for the services. So we had some charges, we had something that was paid monthly. And then we saw an evolution. I think this is what we saw, the new banks where we do not see and charges for the services. These are the so-called digital accounts. And now what we see is a third generation that in fact you cannot even give a meaning to it. What we are talking about are companies whose purpose is not to provide banking services, but they emerge because they have a lot of users in their customer base, and the bank comes from the downside in order to complement the experience that a company provides to the clients. It's a different direction. So there are international cases, there are local cases. Here you can see some of our clients. Melius, for example, would be one of the examples whose mission is to help the merchant to sell more so that the traffic can be more qualified, providing the best experience to the user, to the client. And then we consider Melius and we embed some services on Melius platform. There's another case with the Jira Bank, which is one of the most important influencers of Latin America. So it has already installed a community of 30 million clients. And within this ecosystem, they decided to expand this ecosystem and offer financial solutions and services to this ecosystem. So that was a enormous service, the number of accounts that were open on a single day, all the engagement that we saw. It's another case. And you also have Vault, for example, which is a company that comes from the Energisa, electrical company provider, to provide financial services not only to the final users but also to the whole ecosystem that permeates the Energisa chain. So they use an ecosystem that was already there. We also have Uber, Corner Shop, when they use our API of payment for those who use their services. So there are different cases. Some of the cases are more obvious, more evident, and we saw many cases which were not obvious at all, but the financial services will come and add somehow to those services already existing. Here we see an interaction with our mind. Our mindset, the way I wake up every morning, the way I ask my team to wake up every day, I ask them to ask, how can we help our partner, our client, to grow sustainably? Our success is connected, 100% connected to the success of our partner. As I mentioned, some partners, Melius would be an example, Jira Bank, Volts, and also Corner Shop. So we need to wake up every day and think, how can I possibly make them grow? So to that purpose, we have a monthly review with the clients. We share the best practices, what could work in different situations, in order to help them really. We have a profitable operation that has already been implemented, which is going to last for a long time. And talking about our model is a subscription model. So the client will pay a transaction package for each use of API. And as I said, we want the client to overcome or to expand this package. We want to help them grow. So it's the pay-as-you-go strategy comes into play when the client will pay additional amounts for additional transactions. So the role of our team is to invite them on board to adopt new practices so that the client will not use only the minimal package and the client will grow and obviously in a sustainable way. And we are also going to be successful in our operation. Now moving on to the next slide. Here we bring a little bit of our model. So our model is, we do not necessarily believe that there will be 10,000 banks. That's not what we believe. I'm going to give you another example. A client can hire a single API, a single product offered by us. I'm going to give an example of a company that manages condominiums. So the company needs to issue more than 100,000 boletos every month. So they could hire our API of boletos, which is highly technological. They can issue those bank slips by means of our boleto API. So in fact, it's not using a bank. It's just improving the client's operation. It's bringing in more operational efficiency to it, to the company. Maybe we'll have an API that can respond more quickly, or maybe we can help them reduce their operational costs. This is just an example, but there are many others of clients that come to us and hire one single API or one or two or three APIs to solve an operational question, issue. And so when we move on to the second case, we can have industries or companies with 10,000 employees, and instead of selling the payroll, they could have a bank specific for the employees. A bank of for 10,000 employees will pay for itself, so we can offer a better condition for the employee. Maybe the payroll transactions will be better, the cards conditions will be more favorable to the employees. Maybe they will help the employees to solve their indebtedness, so they can make the salary of the employee to be better used, so because they're offering better conditions than the market can offer, because they know the reality of the employee more than any other institution. So in practice, they're increasing the salary of the employee in an indirect way. So we have many examples of robust companies that instead of selling their payroll, they would hire the APIs and would offer this in-house payroll to the clients. So we also have cases of full banks such as Melius and other clients. Volts would be another example, Jira Bank. And they offer all the APIs and all the products that we have on our shelf, from virtual card, credit card, debt card, prepaid card, accounting card, TED transfers, account statement, and so on and so forth, big transfers and other products, crypto as well. So more than 25 products can be offered and the clients can use, they can modulate, it can be like building blocks to be chosen. So each block can be chosen and they can build their own values, the value that you want to deliver to the client. And moving on to the next slide, I have already mentioned some of it, but I will bring some examples. And one of the examples I didn't mention is the 123 Milhas. In their business model, they need to generate a virtual card, a prepaid virtual card, in order to pay for the flight-related fees and charges. They didn't have this revenue in the past. They would generate a card from a traditional bank, and now they have their own prepaid virtual card, and they would have the compensation from the interaction of that transaction. This is just an example of another non-obvious sector. That, and as I said, there will be many non-obvious new operations. Moving on to the next slide, we are going to go deeper into how we believe the success came to our business. It's a scalable business. We saw a lot of scale growing in the past few months, so we have been building this business since March 2020. So there are many tools that we have implemented, security and everything. They are the best of the market, used across the world, by the way, and so that the operation can be for the operation to be profitable, it needed to be scalable. And the scale started to come, especially in the past 2 months, by the opening of many accounts from many partners and many cards being issued. And we believe that the cards that are about to come are months which are going to be more successful from the economic perspective. And now, explaining a little bit about the model, it has a model of subscription revenue. So we have a guarantee minimum revenue per client that comes on board our platform. At present, we have about 200 clients on our platform, 200 partners. These are the words we use internally. We say clients, and obviously, we want to help our partner to grow so that this growth can be sustainable and long-term and with results. So in our minds, the client needs to grow, generating positive results. Obviously, what we do is cross best practices, which are transformed into products. An example that I would like to give you, only to illustrate, you can look at this graph. So we start offering crypto to Melius. So we see that there is the feed with Melius. So we launch the product with Melius, the product will mature, and in the future, we are going to open this to the market. So we are adding a product. So if we are adding a product, obviously, we are increasing the engagement of the client. We are also increasing or adding value to the client, and more revenue will be generated to our partner. And we are going to have a cut, a portion of that revenue. So it's a business where you have an R&D. The magic of all this is that you have a technological base for several clients. So it's a business that as soon as you start scaling up and you start broadening, it will become a business with high potential growth potential. So I would like to wrap up my part or my presentation, giving you this message: a single R&D for 200 clients for the time being, but we can have many more in the future. And everything that would accelerate the business of a client can be rolled out and replicated to the other clients, as we saw with crypto. So I would like to end my words here, and I turn the call back to. Thank you, everyone. We are now going to start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please click on the Raise Your Hand button for your microphone to be enabled. The first question comes from Ricardo Spiegel with BTG Pactual. Ricardo, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions on my side. First,
Since we had the Bankley consolidation, the balance sheet was a bit confused quarter on quarter. So I would like to hear from you how the cash burn happened in the quarter. And I would also like to understand the perspective in terms of break-even of the company and how can we see the cash evolution, having this in mind. I'll ask the second question later. I can take the second part of the question and you start. Okay, great. Okay, so we'll start. Ricardo, I'm going to answer the first part of the question in order to explain the second part of the question. I believe that important to point out is something that I didn't mention during the presentation. The expenses of Melius started to ramp up in an aggressive way when we had higher investments in marketing in the first quarter of last year. So when we look at the comparison base, even related to expenses, I would say that we are at the peak of expenses that we could reach. And when we compare to the second quarter of last year, they were expenses that were beginning to grow. So it's important to mention this because in the last 3 months, we not only deaccelerated the pace of hires, and we started to do more with less, and that held back our expenses in terms of personnel. And as I mentioned during the presentation, we have been managing to deliver growth with profitability, with a positive net take rate, even decreasing our investments in marketing. Having said this, and now talking about Melius's perspective, we believe that it's really possible to reach a break-even of the company in the first quarter of next year. This is our purpose, and I'm referring to Melius. Maybe David could also provide his contribution since we are aligned and we are working in the same direction. But in terms of Bankley, I think he could provide more color related to Bankley. Okay, thank you very much for the question. So I'll take the floor. As to Bankley, we also have this mission of reaching the break-even of the operation with growth, generate result without cash burn, and also maintaining the growth rate. So this is an alignment that was spread through the group. This is a guidance that we have been managing to put into practice at Bankley. And it's even faster than we had first imagined. So this has been the guidelines and the guidance and the direction, and the team has bought this idea. And I had an internal letter, and I shared the message with all the employees. Everybody knows what they need to do. Each department knows what they need to do. So I have my own activities. So it's a business that is being built not only in David's mind or Israel's mind, but it's in everybody's mind. Okay, let me just add to what you've just said. It's an important note related to your question. What is important, and it's what is important to point out? What we're saying is no news. It's something that we have been there. We know what to do. We know how to replicate and roll out everything that we have been done along our history. This control, this discipline, this way we look at the financial health without losing the sustainability of the business, we are going to maintain all those actions focusing on margin growth, business growth.
growth, profitability. It's something that we are used to doing. So it's something that we see as a strength of the group, and it's not the first time we have been there. So it's something very important to mention. This is no news to us. This is something that we are used to do, and everybody knows what we did, and they all know that we had our hands on the steering wheel at all times, and all the efforts we have been making will bear their fruits. So I would like to mention this point that is associated with your question. Oh, it's very clear. In relation to my second question, I would like to understand how you see the evolution of new products of financial services, those connected to Melius, Melius Card, and the wallet account, and how the evolution of those features would match this focus of reaching the break-even point in the beginning of next year. So I understood that there would be many efforts involved, hands-on and hands-on the steering wheel and everything. But as those products grow, so what kind of pressures do you expect from the margin? So I would like to see your view in this regard. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's a strategy. Even though it adds more revenue for the medium and long terms, but we are at a place where we try to balance the expenses, what we need to do in terms of expenses, and also the pace, the speed of penetration that we would like to imprint in the financial services on our base. And what we are doing today, holding our hands tight, firmly, on the steering wheel, we have the payment, of the boletos, all the features. Some of them are already available for Melius basis when we look at boleto payment. But the credit card, this is where we have, it's something that we have to focus our attention to in order to reach the objective that we want. This is where we are looking very closely. We are very cautious when we look at the credit card. It seems that the macro seems to improve when we see the interest curve and inflation, but we prefer to be more cautious at this time, and we want to accelerate the credit card when we feel more confident, when we can be sure that we can have high returns from our efforts. So it's a battle where we can have where we are going to look at the cash burn very cautiously, and this is something that we are looking for the future.
Thank you, Ricardo. Our next question comes from William Barranjard with Itaú BBA. William, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the call and for the opportunity of asking you a question. The first question is a follow-up of Bankly. I would like to understand how you see the revenue evolution of Bankly, considering the total operation of Melius in terms of share for this year and for next year. And the second question is related to expenses. Could you explain a little bit more the dynamics of the expenses of the quarter, especially the number of extraordinary items, and 90 million, and I would like to know what would be the level of expenses expected going to the future, especially Bankly starting full in the quarter. Would we have to multiply by three, the 14 million, or is there a different calculation?
As to revenue, I can answer. In relation to revenue, now we are going to see the results. We have been doubling in relation to the previous year, but practically without Melius revenue. especially in relation to credit. As Israel mentioned, we are at a right pace considering the macro scenario. That doesn't mean to say that is low, though. This revenue will have the results along this year. And what I mentioned during the presentation was that the beauty of Bankly business is the exponential growth of its infrastructure. So we touched upon all the credit investment and all the credit platform is internal, the model, the team, the collection, policies and everything. So we wanted to serve Melius first and foremost, and we have already reached the comfort level that we wanted in order to look at other clients. So we have a repressed demand, nearly 200 clients. And those 200 clients are on our platform. And we have repressed demand out of those 200 that want to look at credit. So we have the team, the technology. And this is why this operation is so beautiful. It's a single architecture that can provide services to different clients. So we believe that revenue is likely to grow in the future, considering that we haven't captured yet the best share of Melius' full potential. We haven't distributed the product to other clients. I would just like to add that the way we built the credit dimension, we put the credit as a driver of the money. So in the future, if you would like to use a PIX payment in the credit card, this intelligence would already be inside our ecosystem. Instead of being a plastic, it's going to be digital, which is the PIX payment method. So this is as to the revenue. In relation to expenses, in fact, we try to make some operational improvements as to expenses. We made adjustments, for example, to the team, where we prioritized the aspects with payout time that was shorter or longer, and we tried to make all the adaptations. We also worked with our suppliers, so we sat down with each of the suppliers in order to make the proper adjustments considering the perspectives or the context. So, and we have a weekly meeting to talk about efficiency. It's an efficiency committee in order to make the company ever lighter and understand where we can allocate the funds in the best possible way. Okay, thank you, Davi. William, part of the mindset that was described by Davi to would be applicable to Melius as well. We do not usually give guidances, but we understand that we have a more controlled effort in relation to expenses in different lines. Marketing, where we could reduce expenses related to marketing, but the efficiencies were maintained high. And we understand that we have teams in the proper side, and we have been making one-off adjustments, and we're also looking at other expenses of our business. Talking about the extraordinary items that you mentioned, there are two reasons for those non-recurring expenses that we reported in the second quarter. Part come from the M&A, the completion of the Bankly M&A. As we said, this is the first time that Davi is attending or is being part of the results event. And this was, so some of the expenses were recognized in the second quarter of 2022. And the other part is related to how we recognize our talents and how we make incentives to our employees. And we have a program of incentive to our employees. We had some shares in treasury that we needed to zero them, and part of it was done in order used to give recognitions to our employees. And since we carry the treasury shares at acquisition cost, it was more relevant than the value to the market when it actually materialized. So if we do not consider those effects, these are effects that are not going to be posted in the future, and this is what we can expect for the future.
Okay, that was very clear. Thank you very much. Thank you, William. Our next question comes from Luca Brindi with Bank of America. Luca, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions. One is along the lines of what you have already commented, and David added when he mentioned the part of Bankley. But I'd like to understand what's the mindset shift. How is it happening? So you said that you had your hands on. How did you make this mind shift? How has this transition been, and how have you been conveying your this mindset to the other companies? And now talking about Bankley more specifically, how see the evolution of revenues in terms of lines? How much revenue will come from each product going looking into the future, and also looking at new clients and existing clients. So how do you see that the revenue is going to come from the current revenues and the current lines? Do you see initial growth and then a stabilization, or do you see that do you expect the revenues to continue growing in the future? Okay, I'm going to answer the first part. The transition to the break-even point, and thank you for the question, by the way, it doesn't happen overnight. So we, along the last 2 months, we have lots of tasks to be done. And one of them, I'm responsible for it. We had an operational efficiency committee that was created involving all the boards in order to make a list of improvement points related to expenses, and also some points that could even improve our revenues. So more than 70 items were listed during those committee, and along the months we have been prioritizing those that are going to give more impact in the short term. And this would be one of the examples of what we have been doing. In addition to that, we have an educational work involving all the team and going one step behind. Before the IPO, we entered in this break-even mode. And this is what we did. Basically, we trained all our team. We educated all the personnel about what is EBITDA, what would influence that specific line, what would have to do in each area in order to have a positive impact and be a company that would generate cash. And we reached that objective before the IPO. You probably remember that when we had the IPO, we had a 20% or EBITDA margin at that time. This was a result of the educational work effort that we had with our teams, and also the missions that we completed in order to reach this objective. And when we look at the present, we see something very similar. Our team grew a lot in the past year. And that means that many people did not experience the moment we had back then, including the companies that we acquired. So we are doing the work again, educating, defining these OKRs of the teams, focused on operational efficiency and all those issues. And there are many meetings that we have with our teams. One happened last Friday, by the way, and this is what we call as an open game.
where we talk about different topics. And last Friday, we talked a lot about operational efficiency. And in that meeting that we had on Friday, we talked about EBITDA and everything that will cause impact on the targets of the company, the new directions, the products that we were building and developing that would generate revenue only in the long term. So we wanted to use those human resources and allocate them in the products that would generate revenue in the short term. I'm very happy with the pace we are having, and I think that in the next quarter we are going to have the result of all the efficiency committee operational efficiency has done will be much clearer as the results come in. Okay, now I have already mentioned, but we have already talked about this committee of efficiency that would look at the revenue and would also look at the expenses. So there are many calculations, lots of maths involved. So we are doing calculations at all times, making adjustments to the capital according to the product. We have the margins that we consider to be balanced margins for our business model. In other words, we are doing what we must do, and we're doing all the calculations. So in practice, what is the P&L for each product? And each one has to pay for itself, considering the margin that would be healthy for the business. And as Israel mentioned, we have this possibility. But I would say that there's something which is very important related to this moment, which is the confidence in the team. We have to have this mutual trust, to have this mutual transparency from the senior management of the company up to those who are working as interns of the company. So we have transparency permeating all the ecosystems, and we have regular meetings. We also have all hands events that would take all day, and it's focused on alignment. That trust is the basis of everything in order to reach the results. As to the revenue expectations or guidance, I can say that we're just beginning. In fact, many products that started to gain in scale, according to the, for example, accounts that are being open, Jira Bank, Nubankly, and there are also clients that I cannot mention now, since they are ramping up, they are migrating from one model to another, and they used to work in a model that they would contract just one API, and now they want to operate with different APIs. So the expectation, or my expectation in relation to the product, is that all the products that are on our shelves, credit card, credit in general, the crypto as a service, so many products that have more to offer in the months to come. Okay, it's clear. Thank you. Thank you, Luca. Our next question comes from Igor Getz with Genial Investimentos. Igor, your line is open. Igor, are you still there? Your line is open. Hello, good afternoon. How are you? I would like to ask a question in relation to stock options. You mentioned during the conference that this is going to be a non-recurring event. You also mentioned that 27% of your personnel had a partnership and with the financial service vertical that is likely to grow in the months to come. Don't you think that this percentage is going to increase as time goes by? And wouldn't we have an additional expense with stock option? I can answer this. Thank you for the question. It was an excellent question.
Thank you for raising the issue. We have a stock option that we are going to continue using. The accounting result on the result is not going to be at the same proportion that we observe today. It's since we accrue the value for the options along the time, because it's different when you grant shares that you carry in the treasury. I'm saying that what is non-recurring is to have shares in treasury and use in this program of recognition of our employees. This specific effect that we observed in the second quarter is in relation to the position that we had in the treasury shares to complement what we offer to our employees. In relation to what we're going to do in the future, it's still yes, one of our main tools, because part of our culture is to value our employees, create this spirit that is part of our culture, which is the gain-gain principle and the entrepreneurial spirit. And all those who contribute more or the most will be recognized, considering what we've been doing in our business. I don't know if it was clear the way I answered. Yes, it was. So you realize the amount in the treasury. And so this is an effect that is not likely to be seen in the quarters to come. Yes, exactly. I would like to add, Luciano, that the costs of the stock option program are maintained mostly, which is the base program. It's in the part of expenses with personnel. So it's important for Igor to understand that when we say that it's an extraordinary event, it is really extraordinary. And this was a cost that was carried at the moment of the purchase of the share. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Luciano. Thank you, Israel. Thank you, Igor. We now close the Q&A session. I would like to turn the call back to Israel for his final remarks. Thank you, Jojo. Thank you all for attending this event. And I would like to honor the presence of Cash3 group, Bankley team. The team continues engaged and with the mindset that the best is still to come, considering everything that we built along the months, all the products and the services that we have to offer. So we are doing what we believe in. And I believe that this quarter showed that our company, our model is very resilient, considering the drop in the e-commerce. So we are very enthusiastic, very engaged. And now with the new partners of the company. And I really believe that the best is about to come. Thank you very much. Excuse me. The webinar to discuss the results of the second quarter 2022 has come to an end. Thank you very much for your participation and see you next time.